Venerable brothers and sisters, and dear parishioners, I would like to talk about a great enemy of our soul today. And that enemy is discouragement. And as we read St. Paul's epistle today, which he wrote in vindication of his apostolic mission, I believe we see St. Paul having to fight great discouragement in his life. First of all, if we examine our human nature, we see that we have emotions. And one of those emotions that we all have, without exception, it's part of our human nature, is the emotion of despair. I'm not talking about the sin of despair, which of course is a grave sin, but I'm talking about the feeling of despair. And I believe it was Aristotle who defined it as something we experience when we see a good that we want and we see that it is out of our reach, or it seems to be out of our reach. It's a conflicted sort of state that we have. We want it, we perceive it to be good for us. We've tried perhaps already, but it seems too far away. So that's the very definition of despair. The opposite of the emotion of despair is the emotion of hope. And this is where we perceive a good of some kind. We see that it is difficult to obtain, but we do not see it as beyond our reach. And so hope is an encouragement to keep striving. To illustrate now more specifically discouragement, I want to tell you a story. You've probably heard this before, but I think it goes to show how great a problem it can be. This is, of course, a fictitious story. It's not a true account of something. But as it is, the devil one day got tired of going out and tempting people. So he decided to sell his tools of trade. He was having an auction. So he was selling his tools of pride, his tools of concupiscence, his tools of hatred, you know, all these things that he does to help stir up the problems in human nature. And people were bidding on it, and obviously some went for higher prices, some went for lower prices. And then somebody noticed a little tool in the corner and said, "How much for that one?" It was just a small tool. And the devil says, "Oh, that's not up for sale." "Well, what is it?" And the devil says to the one inquiring, "Well, that one is discouragement. And if I ever go back into business, that's the only tool I will ever need to be successful again." Isn't that interesting? I think there's a lot of truth in that story. Because the devil knows his power. The devil also knows that we are weak and frail, sinful human beings. Remember last Sunday we reflected upon our fallen human nature? The devil knows that far better than we do. And the devil also knows that we have the pull of the world, the materialistic, secular spirit that keeps pulling us away or trying to pull us away from God and from loving God and loving our neighbor and focusing on heaven on earth. So the devil knows all that. And you can see, therefore, why discouragement is such a powerful tool that he can use. Now, again, as I said, it is one of our emotions. It's something we experience when we feel that something's out of our reach. And the devil, when he sees us discouraged, he can pick up on that. He will augment that with his temptation. Why try? Why? You failed enough, haven't you? Why keep trying? Holy Mother Church, of course, puts this epistle before our eyes during the pre-Lenten season. Last Sunday, she wanted us to take a good look at our fallen human nature. St. Paul says he had to chastise his body and bring it into subjection because, you know, if he didn't, then he would become a castaway. And I think today the church is giving us, through the writings of St. Paul, a powerful exhortation against discouragement. I mean, let's just take a look again at all of the reasons why St. Paul should have been discouraged. He was whipped 5 times. And the Mosaic law said you couldn't whip somebody more than 40 lashes because you probably would kill them. So the Jewish law was more merciful than the Roman law, which didn't have any limit. They would indeed kill many a person through scourgings. Being stoned, shipwrecked, perils from floods, people turning on him that were his friends, or he thought were his friends. Just, you know, one suffering after another. Don't you think St. Paul was discouraged? Or was tempted to be discouraged? Of course he was. He was so discouraged one time, as we read towards the end of the epistle, that he says, I besought the Lord to take that temptation, take that thorn, that sting of the flesh away from me. It's too much, Lord. And then God speaks to him and says, my grace is sufficient for thee. This is what we must remember, my dear brethren, when we feel like quitting. We must never quit. You know, you read stories about people who tried and failed in the business world or maybe to further their education or some other endeavor, but they never gave up. And would you know it, after some 10, 20, 30 years, they finally reached that goal. The life of Abraham Lincoln comes to mind. If you read it, you will be amazed how many times he failed in his political ambitions. But he didn't quit. He reached the pinnacle of American political stature. He became president of the United States. All because he didn't quit. And he had many reasons to quit. But he didn't. So you see, Holy Mother Church is trying to prepare us for Lent. We need to take penance, extra penance upon ourselves. And we also need to set some spiritual goals during Lent. And what is going to be our great enemy during Lent? The D word. Discouragement. Look back on past Lents, where you started off well, maybe for the first week or so, and then started to weaken and then you gave up some of those things you needed to do during Lent. So I think we can see the wisdom of Holy Mother Church in giving us this powerful, this beautiful, this inspiring lesson today from the life of St. Paul, don't quit. You know, we've heard many a saying, and they may sound trite, but they are really words or sayings that perhaps we should adopt. Things like, the winner isn't the one who is the one who falls down 10 times but gets up 11 times. Or something, you know, something along those lines. Another one of my favorite sayings, a saint is a sinner who keeps trying. And I think we can all, I don't just think, I know. As I look out at your fallen human nature and as I'm conscious of mine, I know we can all relate to that. You know, the paradox of Christianity is that we are bound to fail. At times. As I said, we have this fallen human nature. Who among us, when we resolve to become better, when we repent of our sins, can any of us say, Jesus, I promise you 100% fidelity for the rest of my life. I will never sin or weaken in any way. We resolve, we must resolve, but can we guarantee perfection? We know we can't. What we should guarantee is that we are going to keep trying. We're never going to give up. So as Lent approaches, put down some reasonable goals. Obviously, don't put down something that you know you will not be able to do. That's setting ourselves up for failure. But make something that is difficult, of course. Lent is that time for penance and real spiritual growth. And when the discouragement happens, as it inevitably will, even if we fail, we say, I'm going to try again. Why does life have to be such a struggle? Why do we have to keep trying and trying and trying? Again, we're dealing with our fallen human nature, wrestling with the devil, resisting the spirit of the world. Why does life have to be such a struggle? Well, you've probably heard this story before, but I think it's one of the best answers to that. A man came across a caterpillar one day trying to get out of its cocoon. And he saw this caterpillar, which of course was being morphed into a butterfly. I guess it was already a butterfly, you know, trying to tear its cocoon apart. And he saw what a struggle it was for that butterfly. And he felt sorry for that butterfly. And so he reached down and with his hands, he helped tear the cocoon apart so the butterfly could get out more easily. The butterfly did, but then the butterfly apparently never flew. It wasn't strong enough. The butterfly died. And he realized later on that by helping that butterfly to get out, he didn't allow it to struggle as it needed to have that, to develop more strength so that when it was out of the cocoon, it would be able to fly with all the strength that it had acquired through the struggle. So, my dear brethren, this is the way it is with us. This is why God doesn't take the struggle away, no more than he took away the struggle from St. Paul. If God took the struggle away, we would be weak and flabby and really unable to stand on our own spiritual feet. So therefore, God lets us struggle. His grace is there. Just because we can't feel it tangibly doesn't mean it's not there. Are we struggling? Yes, we are. But in that struggle, we are acquiring the strength that we would never have otherwise. So let the example of St. Paul encourage you. Let the teachings of our Lord in the gospel of today be an inspiration to us? Our Lord talks about the seed. The devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. Or those who fall away in time of temptation. Isn't this often the case with those that give way to discouragement? So we receive that beautiful word of God. St. Paul received the word of God. Let us keep holding on to it strongly. And no matter how many times we have failed in the past, it really doesn't matter. Giving up is no solution. What does it accomplish? Nothing. But struggling, persevering in the struggle, always is a good thing, and it's the right thing to do. I was even thinking of our Blessed Mother, how, of course, she never sinned, she was never imperfect in any way, but when you look at the sufferings that she had to go through, wouldn't there have been a sense of discouragement? But of course, she never, ever would have given into that. She was faithful. Let us ask our sorrowful Mother as we prepare for the Holy Lenten season to help us to always just keep on persevering and relying on the grace of God, which she dispenses. And remember this, that no matter how big any problem, temptation, struggle, or problem may be, God's grace is always bigger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.